Media shouldn't be one note. Support Rabble.ca and a diversity of voices in Canadian media. Visit rabble.ca/donate to contribute.
This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
Welcome to Face to Face. This is a show about change and about what's next. It's a show that wants to ask questions, peel back the layers of our average everyday experience, and go beyond scratching the surface. We interview amazing people with incredible ideas and stories who have done wild, weird, and wonderful things. Remember that imagination shared creates collaboration, and collaboration creates community, and community inspires social change. I'm David Peck, and this is Face to Face. So my interview today is with a young Torontonian filmmaker by the name of Luc Gilardi. We talk a great deal about his passion and his commitment for teaching, for Toronto, for sports, for relationships, and for communicating important messages through film and documentary and story and narrative and what it all has to mean. This is a great film. It's called Eastern. It was at the Regent Park Film Festival recently. Hopefully going to be able to see it in a variety of different places soon, whether that's going to be on CBC or Netflix or whatever other platform remains to be seen. But keep your eyes open. Follow Luc on Twitter. And the film, it's called Eastern. It's, as an article out of Ryerson recently says, a journalism student makes a slam dunk. This is a interesting, fun film about urban life in Toronto. Luc talks about Toronto being Manhattanized. How interesting is that? We talk about the implications of teaching, and we talk about schools and lack of funding and gentrification, and what are the impacts for people in the city who are trying to, you know, make a difference in their lives. It's a really interesting film. It's a short film, great soundtrack. You're gonna love it. Check it out, Luc Gilardi, and the film is Eastern. Our conversation is coming up. Don't forget davidpecklive.com for more information about my speaking. You can even support my podcasting now on patreon.com. You can find it out through about that through my website, and also rabble.ca, where I appear for more of my own interviews, but plenty of others as well. Luc Gilardi and Eastern coming right up. Well, welcome to Face to Face. We're joined by a very special guest today, a local guest from Toronto. Sadly, we're not face to face, but Luc Gilardi, he's a film student and a documentarian. He's with us here today. Luc, thanks for taking the time.
My pleasure, David. Thank you very much for having me. I'm honored to be on your show.
So we're going to talk about your first film, I understand, that you started making it, I guess, 20 years old, a film that was recently released here locally called Eastern. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell me a little bit about the film as we kind of move into this, you know, into this conversation.
Absolutely. So I'm born and raised in Toronto's East End. So I live just by Pape and Dam Forest. I'm a city kid at heart. Grew up loving sports, obviously. Started with like soccer and then developed into hockey, and then basketball really ended up becoming a love that has really blossomed over the years. And I guess just to start off with like how I kind of got interested in the story of Eastern Commerce High School. So I live just 5 minutes away from the school, and growing up I used to play basketball all the time. I was coached by people who went to Eastern. I played with teammates who represented Eastern Commerce. And there's always this kind of legendary tale of this program and this school. Eastern was known as the powerhouse in Toronto basketball scene. And I heard that the school was closing down, and it came as like a real shock to me, because I went to the school just down the street called Riverdale. Mm. And Riverdale's like packed, like they don't even let people in. There's like 1,500 kids, like you have to be on a waiting list to get in. It's very exclusive. And just down the road, there's a school, and then in its final year in 2015, only 62 students are at the school, and 9 of them play on the basketball team. And it was just really interesting to me in my own community. How is this possible? How is this happening? So I kind of just like started to get this documentary going.
So Luc, so did it? So I mean, it sounds. I definitely want to ask you what's the film about? Because for me, it's really quite multi-layered and quite lovely on so many levels. And by the way, congratulations! Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's a piece. I hope you're really proud of it because there's a lot going on. So would you say you approached it kind of as a student? Did you approach it as a guy who loved basketball? Or were you saying, you know what, how is it possible that a block or two away we can have a school with 1,500 students and another one that's been here forever with only 64 students or 62 students? So did you start with a question?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that for me, being like a journalism student at Ryerson, the need to like ask questions and being curious has always been there for me. And then I guess like it just started out with, how is this basketball powerhouse of Eastern Commerce closing down? Why is this happening? So I just went to the school, I wrote them some letters, and I just tried to make this documentary happen, try and make my vision a reality and like get the story out there, because at the time I really had no idea why this was happening and why the school was closing down. And it's really, I guess like the way I like to view the film once it all came together, it's kind of like an onion that has so many different layers to it. I'm sure basketball is at the core of the film, and that's kind of like the glue that holds the film together, right? The final season and the chance to win a championship. But like, there's so many layers. Like, there's the community, there's the academic aspect, just as much as the basketball film. I think it's a film about education. And then there's also like the story of the students. So like, we profile students who are like the final Eastern Commerce students who are representative of like the last crop. And then there's, like, the angle of the gentrification of the city and how the city's changing and the reflection. And then there's stories of the students who are from, like, communities such as Regent Park, where a film screened at the Regent Park Film Festival, and how in a way, Eastern Commerce is almost like a canary in a mine. Once Eastern Commerce, like, the canary died, it's kind of a reflection of how the city's changing in many regards. So definitely, like, the film is multi-layered, and that's something that I'm really proud of. I kind of just like came into it being like, oh, I want to learn more about this basketball program. But more and more, I really learned about this community, and like any community, no community can be like singled out as one thing. So that's definitely something that we tried to focus on in our film.
It really is a beautiful story about community and about the power of it and about the strength of it and about the nuance and all the things that we're all connected to when we are growing up, when we are sort of going through those formative years, I guess you could say. It was really lovely to watch some of the guys, some of the players reflecting back, some of the teachers reflecting back on, you know, what it was like. And as you kind of cross-cut it with some of the photos and some of the old footage and so on, you know, I mean, for me, the film was about memory in a sense. You know,
yeah.
And in fact, one of the guys that you interviewed say something about, that this is where I lived and you know, the city's moving in and replacing old memories with new faces, I think was the line or something along those lines.
Yeah, the line, yeah. DeJuan Jemmett said that. And I think that's like, it is kind of like DeJuan Jemmett, he's a student from Eastern, grew up in the Regent Park community. And for him, imagining putting myself in his footsteps, very troublesome, because his community of Regent Park, in the film you see, I think what's kind of like the crescendo of the film is when he's reflecting on like his community and how it's changing. And he's like at this basketball court. And we just went to the basketball court to shoot him playing, get some shots. And then like all of a sudden he starts saying like, oh, back there, that's where I live.
Right.
And we're
right.
Like, oh, what do you mean? We don't really see anything. And he's like, oh, well, that dirt pile, that's like the city's... like doing construction, and they tore down like my whole house and like where I grew up and where I grew up doing the things that I love doing, playing with my friends. So he's like, I'll never be able to go back to that and say like, this is where I grew up. This is my community. I'll never be able to like show my kids like where I grew up. And then at the same time, while this is also happening, DeJuan's school is closing down. And it's very similar to Colin Charles, who joined us at the Regent Park Film Festival. He grew up as a Regent Park resident. And he also grew up as an Eastern Commerce like legend and as a great basketball player. And it's like both of the things that he associates most closely with his childhood are now gone. So,
well, what was that?
Well, it's definitely changing.
Luke, I think the line too was something like, "There's nothing wrong with the old Regent."
Mm-hmm.
You know, So there's did you get a sense that I mean, for me this is, the film is also very much about urban life and about urbanization, really, in a sense, like you said, the gentrification of the area and how condo is changing everything, right?
Yeah,
it's reshaping the way community I guess is going to be built, I suppose, in the future, and that may not necessarily be a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that often with, I was actually, because I'm still a journalism student at Ryerson, so I was interested in just saying, wow, if DeLon's story was so powerful and he's one region park resident, like, this could be a whole other documentary just on how the city's changing and how this community is feeling the impact of it. And one thing that really, struck me is that, like, I was doing, like, a lot of research, and there's this one academic, I believe she's a professor at U of T, and one of the things that she was saying was that there's kind of like this idea that if a neighborhood is like low income, that somehow by like putting like higher income people and like making it a mixed income neighborhood is like, it's like making the area better. It's like, it's beneficial for all. It's like they're like purifying the area in some regards. And I don't agree with that. I think that like DeLon said, there's nothing wrong with the old Regent. I'm not an expert on Regent Park.
Right,
it's just an observation from me, but
so
that it definitely does raise that question.
Absolutely.
Is mixed income the way to go? Is condo city how we want to see Toronto grow?
Yeah, so, yeah. I think it was Roy near the beginning of the film that talked about the melting pot of what Regent Park was like. And I mean, we talk about that a lot in, you know, Toronto, I suppose, and Canada, really, I suppose, really, even, don't we, with respect to even all these Syrian newcomers who are coming to Canada. And I mean, we take a certain amount of pride in that. But would you say, I think I kind of hear you saying that what's happening now is really not kind of melting pot focused. It's more of an economic kind of a distinction, or an economic sort of almost what's the word I'm looking for? Urban planning? Is that what we're talking about here? You know, the way these, you know, let's change the area by putting, you know, richer people into it. That sort of sounds like what.
Yeah, I just think, like, in many regards, one of the lines that I remember that it didn't make the cut for the documentary, but like it still sticks in my mind, is like, it's kind of like Toronto right now is being Manhattanized in many regards. Like, the real estate is out of this world. Like, even like for me, and like, I'm born and raised in Toronto, on my street, just in like by Pape and Danforth, it's like a pretty average street. You know, it's nothing too special. And like when I bought it, it was like my mom bought the house when I was like a kid. It was $160,000. And now there's streets on my, or there's houses on my street that are selling for like $1 million. And these houses aren't like mansions. Like, they're pretty, like, way out for them. They're pretty chill. Like, they're just like a normal kind of home. Mm. And in some regards, it's like, is this a sustainable model for our city? You know what I mean? Like, to have, like, you see wages are stagnating. People's incomes aren't going up. Yet the real estate market in Toronto is skyrocketing. And that's definitely something that we kind of wanted to tackle in our film, is that, like, this school is very representative in many regards of how the city of Toronto is changing, and how Toronto is becoming Manhattanized, and how the city is becoming, like many people, like they say, it's like we're on the quest to become a world-class city, but at whose expense are we becoming a world-class city, and what does that even mean?
So right.
I definitely
exactly.
think that there's like larger issues in our film that we tackle. Like, it's definitely more than just your average basketball film. And I'm very, like, lucky that, like, my parents growing up, they were, like, very, like, politically conscious. They, like, they got me, like, to read the newspaper. They both come from, like, journalism backgrounds. So maybe that's why, like, at a young age, I was able to kind of, like, tackle these issues with my team.
Runs in
like,
the family. It's kind of ironic to me, Luke, that the Eastern is, and I'm interested to know why you just called it Eastern and not Eastern Commerce, but that you're talking about a business school, a commerce school, and yet your film is all about sports and about the community, you know, and the community around it. And what, you know, what I love about your film is it's really actually has nothing to do with basketball. do you know what
That's
I mean?
True. It's kind of, yeah. It's like if it's like basketball is like, it's like you really like sneakers. Like I don't really like sneakers. I love shoes,
right.
But it's like, it's about the outfit, but the sneakers are just a part of that outfit, right? Like those are just like an accent.
Well,
like
you said earlier, you talked about the glue and about the onion, and I mean we're talking about pedagogy here. I want to hear more about Miss Khan. I want to hear a little bit about you know what appears to be almost your love. You know, you talked about, I think before we had the the recorder on, you talked about pouring love into this film. I mean, it's really evident to me. And what's also really beautiful is the passion that comes out, the love that comes through from the guys, the people that you interview as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a genuine, authentic desire to tell this story. You know, clearly this school, this environment, this old Regent Park community had a mm-hmm. serious impact on these guys' lives.
Absolutely. Like one thing that really struck me, I kind of come from like a writing background before I started making films. And one of the things that really struck me was like I did interviews with like probably over 30 people. And after every single interview, one theme that was recurring was that like people afterwards, they say, oh, thank you so much for doing this. Like before they even like knew that I could make like a film that was like film festival caliber and that was like good enough to be broadcasted on TV. Like people would come up to me and they'd be like, thank you so much for like taking the time to do this. Like we really appreciate it. Like it seems like the story was overlooked. And like that's one thing that like really like resonated with me. It was like, I'm still kind of curious, like why didn't like the major media like focus on the story? You know, I felt like it was something that was like very swept under the rug. And at the same time, like while other people miss an opportunity, at the same time, I saw it as an opportunity to tell this great story. And like, it would have been really sad if I didn't make this film and this whole like, community story was lost. Like I remember one day, it was like I've been working on this film for a while. We just got funding from Ryerson University, and we were just starting to really ramp it up and like start to like make this thing a reality. And like I was in this room, and it's like the coach's office at Eastern. If you ever went to Eastern, you know the coach's office. And there's this big, huge wall, and like there's like photos from every single generation of Eastern Commerce. So it's like dating back to like the 70s, black and white photos of all the greats. And then, like, everyone knows that wall. And then I went, and it was the last day of the high school before it closed, and the whole wall was gone. All the photos were down. And I was like, wow, like, this is really done, you know what I mean? Like, and then they had all the photos, and they were just, like, sitting in this envelope. And then, like, without even telling any of the teachers, like, I took them all, scanned them home, and then I brought them back to the teacher the next day. And, like, when I had all those at home, and I was, like, scanning them, and I had them all in front of me, I was like, wow, like, I have this whole school's history right here, the whole community
nice.
Right here, like, in my house. Like, if I don't tell this story, like, it's going to be lost, you know? So
like, incredible.
That moment was, like, important for me.
So, journalism student, clearly I can hear it. You've got a ton of passion, truckload of commitment and intention, which is amazing and awesome. What about capacity? What about, holy smokes, what have I done once the camera started rolling? You know, am I ever going to finish this project? It's way too big. How do I edit this story into something that's, you know, meaningful and makes sense?
Yeah, that was really hard. Like I had this one point where like I almost burnt out. So like I was like working so hard on the project for so long, and like the days were long, and while I was working on this project, I was also like working full time at the gym. So like when we were doing shooting days, I'd like have to scramble to get people to cover my shift, and like it was nonstop. And like there was a point, it was like in the summer, and I was like, oh, I don't even know if we're gonna be able to finish this. Like you have like almost like hundreds of hours of like people talking and of shots and stuff. Like how are we gonna turn this into and like make this into something that's like digestible and that's like as powerful as the interviews? Because as you're doing the interviews, like just listening to the people talking, like I learned so much about the school, and I learned so much about Eastern, and I learned so much about the Toronto basketball community. So like there was definitely a moment where it was like, wow, like I have all these memories acquired, and like I have them all. How am I going to do this? And like I just took a little bit of time to like breathe, relax, step away from the project, came back to it, and like I realized that at the end of the day, like while timing is important, like it's what's more important is for us to take the time to do this the right way,
tell the right story.
Do it like the right way. So like once we paced ourselves, and like instead of like going hard every single day, we'd be like, okay, let's go every other day and let's go to the edit suite. And we did an editing suite right at Ryerson University downtown, just like with other students around us working. So it was like a true student production in many regards. It's funny too, like just to show like how this is like really just like the start of like my career and the start of like my love for like documentary making. Like to pay people to get the film done. I was, like, paying people with, like, my OSAP money. It's, like, my Ontario right. student loan money. Right. So that's how we were paying the cinematographer, the sound recordists, and it was a real student production. But and also, thankfully, Ryerson supported and funded the project, nice. Which is, like, incredible to have that. So it seemed like the film was, like, a snowball effect in many regards. Like, it was started with a good idea, and then, like, people started believing in it, and, like, the community got behind it, and it seemed like every time we achieved one more thing, it would open up another door, and it just kept on rolling. And, like, yeah. I guess, like, I had the idea that maybe we could get into some film festivals, but at the end of the day, the way I looked at it was, like, I just want to, like, make sure that people know this story.
You just wanted,
very special.
So you didn't really have an end goal in mind other than getting it done, getting the story finished, getting it edited, and then trying to get it into some... get it onto some kind of a platform, whether it was a festival or TV or the web or whatever.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, the way I kind of, like, look at it is, like, it's a very, like, for me, this is, like, a very special time for me because, like, my intentions as, like, a storyteller, as a filmmaker, as a journalist, like, right now, like, I'm lucky, like, I'm supported by my mom at home, like, I have
right.
a part-time job.
Nice.
So, like, yeah. like, right now, I'm in, like, a space where I can kind of, like, create things that, like, move me
it's
and
good.
Stories that, like, are important to me.
It's great. So,
like, right
well,
now, like,
you know
that
what's,
was
so,
just, like, a,
what's so brilliant about that,
of
Luke,
love.
What's so brilliant about that is that you're aware of it, that you're acknowledging it and saying, this is a great space to be in, and I'm going to use this time and this support wisely, and that's amazing to me. I wonder if Michael Moore started out or Errol Morris started out being supported by their mom.
Hey, I'm sure Michael Moore would give credit to his mom. He's a
I bet he
guy,
does.
So.
I bet he does too. Hey, listen, tell me about, if you can, tell me, or even your own personal sort of story as you interviewed folks about Miss Khan. My wife Elizabeth's a teacher. I teach a course a year.
Miss Khan is amazing.
My brother's a principal. It's very much a part. The idea of having an impact in somebody's life as a teacher to me is, I think, an incredible thing. And I think sometimes,
absolutely.
I think sometimes we undervalue it. You really seem to focus on that. And the few people that talked about Miss Khan, they were wow. You know, they were clearly impacted by this woman and her approach and how she taught.
Absolutely. So. Just for, like, people who haven't seen the film, so Miss Khan is a teacher at Eastern, and she was she taught art and some math classes, but, like, where she really made a mark and set herself apart as this legendary teacher is that she took the time to help these students academically. So they went to a study hall, and she was the person who would help them pass their classes and help them, like, succeed academically. And, like, all of the students, so, like, a lot of people who went to Eastern, they had the goals of going NCAA Division I, getting scholarships for basketball. But something that's often ignored is that to get that scholarship, you have to have high academics, and your marks have to be just as good as your game in some regards. So Miss Khan, she, like, took time to be with all these students. And the thing that's amazing about Miss Khan is, like, by the time we were making the documentary, she was actually a retired teacher, but she still would come to the games. And, like,
wow.
Once we started that, we were filming the documentary, she would, like, come to our shoots, and, like, she would, like, help us out, and, like, she would provide us with all these, like, scanned photos, and, like, Miss Khan came to all of our screenings. So, like, Miss Khan, she's, like, she lives and breathes Eastern. She's, like, the thing, like, with this documentary is, like, this teacher and this person who's, like, an educator, she's, like, making such a difference in these people's lives. She's very emblematic of what Eastern Commerce represented to people within the basketball community. And, Miss Khan, she's just as amazing as in the film. Honestly, she's, like, one thing that, like, is amazing. Like, I was a student who, like, got my academics up from her. But, like, so we were having trouble tracking down Jamal McGlure, who's in the NBA with the Toronto Raptors. He wouldn't, like, he just wouldn't get back to us for an interview. No love lost. He's, like, an amazing guy. My boy now. But, like, it's funny. So he like, wouldn't get back to us. And then we were going to this event. And then, like, we heard he might be there. So, like, oh, we can try and interview him there.
Right.
And then I went up to Miss Khan because she was also at the event. And I was like, hey, Miss Khan, I've already asked Jamal. He hasn't really got back to me. But I know that if you asked him, Jamal McGlure will not say no to you. So then she's like, oh, yeah, no problem. I can do that. So then I wasn't there for this. My friend Robert, who is also, he's the executive producer of the film, he was with them. And then Miss Khan goes up to Jamal McGlure, and she's like, Jamal, they want to do an interview with you. They're making this great documentary. And then Jamal McGlure, he's like, anything you say, Miss Khan, he puts his arms in the air. And then he walks out and does the interview with us. And it's not like Jamal McGlure was, like, the documentary wouldn't have been a success without Jamal McGlure, but I feel like if we didn't have him, it would have been, like, leaving out a gap. Like, he's the most known Eastern Commerce alumni. So, yeah, Miss Khan, She's the best. And that's funny, after she did that thing, getting Jamal McGlure and also Simeon Mars for us, she, at the end of the day, we gave her a hug, said bye to her, and then she gave us candy, too. She's, like, literally the greatest human in the world. Like, I have so much respect for her. Like,
that's
she's
awesome.
Someone who, like, I definitely want to, like, stay in contact with, like, get dinners with, and, like, she's a lifelong friend at the end of the day. So
it's
amazing that film can do that.
It is, and it's amazing that people do that, too, right? And I think it's amazing that you were able to capture some of that. That you know, this is what I do, why I do what I do, you know, the development work that I do, why I do a podcast, why I interview people like you that are providing stories and providing a narrative for us to say, you know what, we can make a difference. We can give back. We can drop that pebble in the pond and watch the ripples grow. And this is a beautiful way,
absolutely,
I think, to see Ms. Khan's impact. Who was it that said in the film, and I've got the quote here, if it wasn't for her, I would never have made it.
Yeah, that was Doug Johnson. He was a former standout basketball player at Eastern in the 90s. And it seemed like that was like a reoccurring theme with all of these basketball players and these people who are young men at the time. They look back at their time at Eastern and they said, like, Eastern shaped me, Eastern made me
right,
who I am. And
right.
It seemed like the lessons that people learn through sport and through education, through Eastern, is something that's very unheard of in the Canadian sports community. So it is like an amazing story that kind of fell in my lap. And I feel like in some regards, like, I was like born to tell this story, you know. It's like,
nice.
It's combined so many things that are like of my passion. Like, as a student, I love like sociology, I love politics, I love basketball, I love film, I love like visual storytelling, I love like community, I love my East End community. So it's like, it was like a perfect story for me to really like get my feet in the water, so to speak, in the film community.
It was a
great storm.
So we're gonna wrap it up in a second here, Luke, but tell me what's next for you from a documentary perspective. Are you in the middle of something new? And then is there a life beyond the festival now for Eastern? Is it going to be going into schools? Mm-hmm. What's next for the film?
So right now with Eastern, we're talking with some broadcasters. So we have some interest from two different broadcasters. We're currently weighing our options, but the goal is to definitely like get the story out there and get it to a wider market. We've been in five film festivals so far, all screenings in Toronto, including our final one, which is at the Regent Park Film Festival. And I feel like we've done the festival circuit. It was an amazing experience. It was so cool to see my work displayed in a theater. It was like surreal. So there's that. So we're going to try and get it broadcasted. I think we'll be successful with that. So look out for it on TV. And then I'm working on a next documentary right now. Actually, a few. I just finished a documentary for my school, for class. Very happy with how that turned out. But I'm also working on another community documentary. It's literally another story in my own backyard.
Oh, that's great.
So just working on that right now. We've got getting some funding for it right now. So we have most of the funding we need. And we're looking to shoot in the summer. So I realize that like Eastern's kind of blessed me with this opportunity. And like it's given me a platform.
Sure.
So I got to just keep on running with it. And
you
got to
keep going, man.
Keep the wave going. That's what it's all about, man. Keep producing.
Keep going. It sounds to me like you got a whole lot of stories waiting to be told and standing on. I mean, you know, every poet, right, sees another story, sees another line, sees another poem around it, pretty much every corner, every person they meet, every hand they shake, right? It's
absolutely.
Their stories are there to be told. Luke, thanks a lot for your time. Really appreciate your generosity. I appreciate your thinking and your passion for Toronto and for telling stories. And for the film Eastern, it really was terrific. I thoroughly enjoyed it. It's a great piece, and I hope you get it into high schools. You know, a film about students,
yeah,
by students, for
cool.
students. How's that?
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah.
I really appreciate your time.
Thanks a lot.